believing the Bible and what it says matters. It can change everything for our lives. And as I expressed last week, getting the Bible into me changed my life. And I want to speak more about this amazing book, the Bible. It's amazing because it is the very Word of God. What the Bible says, some say, God says. It's really true in a general way. What the Bible says, God says. Think about it. It's revealing truth about who God really is, the truth about the very special value of people, where we originated from and where our destiny lies. It gives us a real hope to live by, such hope like, you say, I am loved. Jesus said this, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have an everlasting life. That matters to every single soul, your soul and mine. Do you believe that? Do you trust that statement? Do you think that statement's really true? That represents the reality that there's a real God who cares about you, individual you, enough to die for you, to have you be with him forever and ever. This life is very short. What's here is so temporary. Don't live your life on the basis of what's just here. Live your life on the basis of what's here after, because that's the eternity. That's the eternal. That's the forever and ever and ever. So we make choices on the basis of what we know to be true about our future. Everybody does. And I'm one that hates to be deceived. Does anybody feel that way too? It just frustrates me to no end. It angers me deep within when I find out that I've been sold on something that's not true. I've been manipulated. That it wasn't right. That's not what's real. It's fake. It's false. It's a lie. This book claims to be God's word from God. 3,800 times the Bible declares, God said, thus saith the Lord, God has spoken. And when we say that the Bible's a word of God, it doesn't mean that God spoke everything that is recorded in its pages necessarily. The Bible actually contains the words of hundreds of different men and women. And what the Bible claims for itself, that it is true. It's a true account of what these people actually said. And those people who were speaking for God, thus saith the Lord, God said this, those people who were speaking for God have God's authority behind their words. Okay? God superimposed, made sure, guaranteed that those words were actual true words from him. And so the Bible says these were just a couple of verses that help us out. They'll be on your notes there that you can take home with you. So check that out. Look at what the first says out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. It says, we are constantly giving thanks to God for this, that when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it really is, God's word. Get that, friends? He's writing to people that had received the word of God, more of it from him, the Paul, the apostle, church planter Paul guy, that he shared God's word orally. It came to be written down. That's called scripture. The writings is scriptured. And so it came to be written down in what we have, you know, Old Testament, New Testament. We call Bible today, simply means book. It's God's word, and it's also at work in you believers. It can make a difference inside of us. It can change everything. If we believe it, engage it, live by it, it'll change your life. And there's numerous testimonies in this room that can claim that's true, and I'm one of them. Look at the next verse. It says in 2 Timothy 3, again, this same Paul who was this church planter guy that took the gospel into Europe, as far as Europe, says, how from infancy, speaking to this young Timothy, his protege, we'd say, you have known the holy scriptures. There they are. That's the term that's given here, or what we have in our Bibles today, the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. It says, all scripture is God-breathed. That's God-authored, God-breathed out, God-said. It comes from God, is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Notice the claims on this, and not all the verses on the screen. I understand that you'll have the remainder of it there in your notes. But it claims to reveal salvation. That's what the scripture claims to reveal. And if that's true, we ought to give big ear to it. If it claims to heal us eternally, the idea of salvation, a healing between us and God for eternity, we ought to, really? If that's true, okay? Now, if it's false, you've been scammed big time. So, I'm just trying to relate to you the way I related to myself in trying to discover, explore, understand, is this stuff true? If it is, it's going to change everything. It matters most of all because of what it says. So I'm answering those questions. It claims to be from God as an author in the beginning of verse 16 there. And then what you have in your notes at your tables there, it claims that it contains practical help in wise and good living. Now next week, we're going to dig into that piece about the Bible. How this is an incredible manual for living our lives to the fullest, to the highest purpose, to the greatest and deepest meaning. And so we're going to hear about how contained in this is wise living, good living. So, the Bible claims to speak about the most important issues of life. God, eternal salvation, wise, meaningful living. So, if it is true and I fail to engage and follow what it says, get me? Follow me? If it's true and I fail to, there could be some heavy consequences. I could miss out in my one and only life on some of the greatest things that I was ultimately designed for and given purpose to do and be part of on the planet with people. Ultimately, there could also be a problem for me for eternity. I might miss that. Most important and longest lasting life, the eternal one. This one's short. When you get to be as old as me, you'll understand that. Some of you young kids here, okay? Yeah, even you, Jack. but we get that sense. So the answers to me, now friends, the answers to these questions matter to my life and to yours. Okay, submit that to you. Because of what the Bible claims about the most important issues of life. So, how do we know it is true? How do we know that what's in the Bible is true? Amazing evidences is how we know, friends. I'm just going to give you a couple, maybe an extra one in there, if we have time. But these are the evidences that were so convincing to me that I stake my life on what is written in this book, the Bible. Okay? It's very important to me. It's why I'm a Christian today. I follow Jesus as best I can, very imperfectly. It's why I've been dedicated for the past 35 years to following Christ, and I've been a pastor for almost 30. That's why. Because I believe this is true. If I didn't believe it, I couldn't stand up here and tell you this, friends. I've been deceived. I've told you the last week, twice in business dealings, I was deceived, once in religion. And I don't like it. I don't want to be deceived again. So I'm a analytical, I want my faith to be based on reason, okay? And I don't want to believe anything blindly. So this is where I'm coming from. It may be that you get it easier than I got it. Good for you. But it took me some search some struggle a bit wrestling with this. Okay, so it's because of this amazing evidence. And I want us to look at this video. Now, it's going to be a little bit technical, but you got to get into some technical stuff here. You got to dig down beneath the surface of things to get this book and understand it well. So let's watch this short video first.
Is the Bible reliable? In other words, is it reasonable to believe that we still have what the authors originally wrote? Let's look at the evidence. There are some 24,000 handwritten copies of the 27 books that make up the New Testament. The oldest fragment is dated to within decades of the original, and the oldest complete New Testament is less than 300 years from the originals. Compare that to the second best preserved ancient work, Homer's The Iliad, with 643 copies, the oldest at 500 years from the original. Then there's Sophocles, with 193 copies at 1,400 years, Aristotle, with 49 copies at 1,400 years, and so on. So for an ancient document, the attestation of the New Testament is extraordinary. But how accurate are those copies? The New Testament record has 40 lines of textual corruption with an accuracy of 99.5%. The Iliad has 764 lines of corruption with an accuracy of 95%. But let's get some more detail. Some claim there are as many as 400,000 textual variants across the New Testament record. That's a lot. So it's a good thing we have textual criticism, which, very simplified, works something like this. There's an original, which we don't have, and there are copies and copies of copies that we do have. So say someone accidentally or intentionally changed something here, here, and here. Well, they just work backwards through all the copies, pinpoint the history of the changes, and reconstruct what the original looked like. Of those 400,000 variants, the overwhelming majority are due to things like spelling, grammar, and other common scribal errors. Less than 1% of those variants actually affect the meaning of the text, and only a fraction of those are considered unresolved by textual criticism. But not one Christian teaching or belief is dependent on or changed by any variant. What about the canon, the list of books considered to be scripture? The canon started taking shape right away as the apostles already considered each other's work as scripture. Then, people who were taught by the apostles started collecting books that, one, were from trusted sources, and two, were consistent with apostolic teaching. Having been specifically warned about counterfeits by the apostles, they were ready and able to spot them. Many think that the canon was imposed by the Council of Nicaea, but we have record of a nearly identical canon at least 150 years earlier. There's really no room for some conspiratorial, untraceable, universally reaching perversion of the New Testament. So is it reasonable to trust that we have the teachings of Christianity as intended by the original authors? Yeah, all the evidence points in that direction with an impressive amount of certainty. So to insist that the Bible has been changed or corrupted beyond recognition is a conspicuously uninformed bias. Is the Bible reliable?
Okay, awesome. Okay, so that you can find on YouTube. If you'd like to review that again, it's just out there on YouTube, and you can go and you can look at that, along with some others that are a lot longer, but you can dive into this. Friends, this evidence here was huge for me. It was huge. They don't have the original autograph or the original manuscript that was written on by the Apostle Paul, or as we went through the book of Luke, what Luke wrote down for his gospel. They don't have those. They're not to be found. But they have, in the New Testament, 24,000 copies in part or in full or complete form. 24,000. Now, I've given you the chart on your notes, and you can see this chart that gives a sampling of ancient literary works, the Bible being one of those. And you can see just here in the New Testament how this matters so much. The integrity, and I'm going to review a little bit of what he said, but only a little bit. Integrity of any historical document depends on the number of manuscripts or copies, we say. And remember, they didn't have copy machines. Somebody had to actually write out word for word to make a copy. And over and over and over again in various languages as it came to be translated into other languages, especially the Greek and so forth. So here we are having all of these copies. And if there's this number of copies, the dependence is on how many that's examined, and then the time span between the earliest copy and the original autograph or when it was written. That's why this chart here is so valuable to note, because the time span for the New Testament is very short, and the number of copies is very, very large. So they can take all those multiplied copies and compare them against what's called the science of textual criticism. You can become a scientist in textual criticism, by the way. It's a very big field that's accepted by everybody. Skeptics, as well as those who believe in the Bible, they believe in the science of textual criticism. It's a science. And so they take the data and they make these comparisons. That's how they come to realize that what we have in our hands is not the original autograph. It's, however, the original text. I don't need the original autograph. I don't need the original manuscript. I have the original text. Friends, this matters to me because I want to believe what's in here, and I can show amazing evidence that what is here in this, what I hold in my hand today, is what was written 2,000 years ago. Friends, this is meant to prop up your faith in the Bible, because it matters to your life if this is true, because of what it says about you and about me and about God and about the past and about the future. I want you to be able to pick this book up and realize this is amazing. And then read it every day, right? Somebody say, yeah, that's what we do here. We read the Bible every day as best we can. We try to get it in our minds. Now, that's the New Testament. Let's look at the Old Testament for just a minute. Old Testament, there's 14,000 copies, manuscripts and fragments of the Old Testament that they've been able to dig up and find, and etc. Critics used to say there was 1,300 years between the first copy when it was first written and the copies that we have. 1,300 years difference in time. So it's believed that, hey, look, you know, there's got to be serious mistakes that were made along the way. And then there was this discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls. You've all heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls. In 1947, a young Bedouin boy named Muhammad, one day he was chasing his sheep, he tossed a rock into the cave of Qumran, and he heard a pot break. He looked into the cave and found what has come to be known as the Dead Sea Scrolls, located right near the Dead Sea at the Qumran community, where, you know, as the Romans came, and it's near Masada, and they hid all of these valuable Old Testament documents in a cave, so they might not be discovered. They weren't discovered for a long time, right? So 2,000, almost 2,000 years, 1,900 years later. And so they had portions in that cave of every single Old Testament book except for one. Before the Dead Sea Scrolls, the oldest manuscript we had was dated at 900 A.D. Okay? A.D. So, and these all were written 1,000 to 2,000 years earlier. So it's like, okay, that's a long distance between the original writing and the earliest copy that we have. Okay, so when they were discovered, the skeptic says, now we can see how much error has crept into the Bible over the course of time. What shocked the academic world, both those who were scholars as well as those who were deep skeptics about the Bible, is that there was hardly any change at all. They found 95% of the text was perfectly identical, and the 5% were primarily spelling variations. The content was essentially perfect. Conclusion? There's an accurate transmission of the original text. We don't have, again, the original autograph or the original manuscript, but we don't need them. Friends, we have the original text in our hands, and it is true, it is reliable, it is trustworthy. So, how do I know it's true? Because of the amazing evidence. This is the top one for me, that's why I'm giving it to you, of the transmission of the Bible text. Amazing evidence of the transmission of the Bible text. You can write that in if you want. Secondly, though, let me give you this other one that I think is just amazing as well. Amazing evidence for the Bible being true, truly the Word of God. And it's because of its unified message. Unified message. The Bible's a unique and remarkable book. It's actually a library of 66 books written over a span of 1,500 years. There isn't another book in history that took that long to write. 40 different authors from every walk of life wrote the Bible. And, you know, everybody that walks, you know, different occupations, we all can have different perspectives on life. Think about this. The Bible was written by kings, as well as servants, philosophers, and even fishermen, poets, doctors, military leaders, herdsmen, even a first century IRS agent. The authors wrote from different places like deserts, dungeons, palaces, islands, battlefields, hillsides, and prison cells. They wrote on three different continents, Europe, Asia, and Africa, in 16 different countries, three different languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Their writings cover hundreds of controversial subjects, yet they speak in perfect unity. This can't be explained by a coincidence. It can't be explained by collusion. Not over that long a time span, with a tremendous amount of diversity and variety. The Bible, friends, is a unified story of how God worked through history to restore his relationship with the human race. The Old Testament, as we talked last week, someone is coming. Someone we need. That Messiah, right? Jesus would be that someone who is coming. The four Gospels express that someone is here. He came. Jesus came. And then the New Testament writings following that is someone is coming again, and we expect Jesus to come. Could be today, or could be 2,000 years from now. We don't know. But he's coming again, and we want to be ready for him. Read cover to cover, you'll find there's simply one hero in the Bible. And who is that? Jesus is the one hero. The one villain? Satan. The one problem? Sin and eternal death and judgment. And the one purpose? A salvation from sin and death. The only reasonable answer to the amazing unity is that there is one master architect who designed the Bible. God is the unifying factor for the unifiable book that we have called the Bible, the amazing evidence of its unity. The Bible is God's word to the human race. It's God's word, to get a little more personal, to you. God is speaking through what's written in these pages to your life, to you personally, as well as to me, as well as to all of us together, as well as across the world, to every single soul. It's the most translated book in the world because of that. Because everybody needs to hear what God says for their lives. That's what matters about the Bible. So I could go into the evidences, the amazing evidences of the historical accuracy, the archaeology that continues to confirm from outside the Bible what's written in the Bible is true. Or the amazing evidence of the fulfilled prophecies, the integrity within the text that what was predicted beforehand in God's providence came to pass. And so it again verifies the historical accuracy of the Bible. The Bible is simply amazing. I want to share that the amazing evidence that it actually works in your life and mine. It works in real life. The Bible does, friends. Couple of quick thoughts here. Unlike any other book, the Bible could claim millions of testimonies of changing the lives of people who have read and apply it over a long period of time, over the past history of 6,000 years of human history. God's Word has changed lives for the better. It always changes us for the better. You believe that because life isn't always good. Life's hard. Life has suffering. Life is painful at times, but God's word comes to help us through those times. It gives us hope through those times. You need God's word. I need God's word. Personally, let me share this with you. I can tell you the Bible has given me a strength. When I have felt weak and depressed, I can get depressed at times. It has confronted me over my attitudes. My attitude isn't always good. It has convicted me over my sin. This book has changed my perspective on my past. It showed me how to live in the present better, and it's given me a certain hope for the future, come what may. I can attest that the Bible will give you timeless answers, as it has for me, in raising kids, in improving your marriage, in managing your emotions, in handling your money, in breaking bad habits, in finding fulfillment in life, in experiencing God's forgiveness, and ultimately receiving an eternal life, that life which we should be living for, that eternal life that we want. No wonder the Bible enjoys unique standing popularity. It's the best selling, it's the most stolen, it's the most smuggled, and it's the most translated book in all of history. And you can have one in your hand and you can read it on a daily basis. It doesn't get any better than that. Can I hear somebody say amen? It's just true. This is the Bible. This is God's word to us. It is special. That's why it's called holy. Holy simply means to be set apart. It is a book, friends, that is set apart. The Holy Bible. And so, friends, it matters to every soul that they hear from God. God is the creator, he's the ruler, he's the savior, and he's the final judge. The one who has, now hear me out, ultimate authority over your life and mine. Who are you going to give authority over your life to? It's an interesting question. But there's a sense in which we have to deal with that, even almost on a daily basis. It can enter into daily choices or major choices about our paths in life. Who is your authority over your life? It's an important question to think about. The Bible tells us that God is the authority, the ultimate ruler, sovereign over all living beings. You know, I believe it because of the amazing evidences that point to the Bible being true. It's true. Dig into it if you doubt that. Doubts are okay. God will embrace your doubts with evidence. He will. He embraces our doubts with evidence. There's a passage in the beginning of John chapter 2 where Jesus had predicted that the temple was a beautiful, you know, building, large as this, but it was ornate, it was golden, it was awesome. And Jesus said, that temple will be destroyed and I'll raise it up in 3 days. Now, the Bible goes on to point out that he wasn't talking about that temple. He was talking about the temple of his body. He'll raise it up in 3 days. That temple will be destroyed, by the way. But the new temple, Jesus, will be raised up in 3 days. And after he was raised from the dead, the Bible says in John 2 and 22, the disciples recalled what he had said. After he had raised from the dead, presented himself to those guys over a period of 40 days, they recalled what Jesus had said. Then, it says in the Bible, they believed the scripture. They believed the scripture. It was an evidence to them. Jesus' resurrection from the dead was an evidence because Jesus believed in the scripture. The scripture was true to Jesus. The scripture was authority to Jesus. Jesus lived his life according to the scripture. So the guys noted after he was risen from the dead, it became a sure thing. This thing about Jesus being the Savior of the world sent from the living God. He's alive from the dead. Proof doesn't get any better than that. And they said that they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Something pretty powerful going on there. If you believe that Jesus rose from the dead, you have no excuse, no reason to not believe in the scripture that Jesus believed in. Jesus believed in the scripture. He said, "It is written," when he was tempted, pointing to the scripture that he lived his life by, that he memorized. He said, "The word is truth," when he wanted to see his disciples set apart by the truth, not be manipulated and deceived by the lie and the falsehoods of life. The word is truth. And so he said, the scripture cannot be broken. Wow. Don't believe somebody that says, "Oh, I believe in Jesus, but I don't need the Bible." Jesus would say, "You're wrong." And it could harm you greatly to not follow all the teachings, the very Word of God that's designed for your life now and forever. Friends, what an amazing Bible that we have, this book. It is the very Word of God. The amazing evidences show it to be true, trustworthy. It matters to you, to me, because it contains vital truths of life from the very Creator of life. Friends, oh, it will change one's life if one responds to its teaching. How are you engaging in the Bible? Could I suggest that you would read it as often as possible, at least a daily dose? I would strongly suggest that. Have some chair time. Do some listening time like Jim expressed last week. Watch the Bible on the Bible Project videos you can find on YouTube or through our resource app that we have, the Right Now Media app that we have. It's an amazing opportunity resource that we have there. You can trust its teachings, and so honor them. You can trust the promises of the Bible. So my urge to us is to live with the hope of a future because of what the Bible says about that future. Get involved in it's coming on Sundays and hear the Bible, and then, you know, be involved in small groups and hear the Bible some more. Isn't it something? The guys got two small groups going, and then the gals pass us by. Now they got three get-togethers during the middle of the week. They just right by us guys. So we're gonna come after you gals. We're gonna get up to four, I'm sure, at some point. The Bible is just awesome. I'm gonna have a word of prayer, and we're gonna sing this final song. This is an opportunity for all of us to be able to say, if you need to, give us a connection card, but write down on the back if you have a step you want to make, if you've got a question or a comment for me. I would love to hear from you even this morning as you would leave today. Oh God, as we conclude this service here, we want to thank you for giving us the Bible. We have multiplied copies. We can trust what it says. It has been preserved in an amazing way, and it is verified that that text is what it was originally written and meant. And so we're so grateful to know your heart, to hear from you, your word for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and
amen.
Amen. Let's sing out this last song as we do.